It's Monday, February 21st, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a prime room of the Tech Podcast Network. Hey, everyone, it's a very nice, gentle, rainy evening here in Honolulu. The trade winds have finally come back, got a lot to share with you, and we have a noise outside that I have no idea where it's coming from. I'll talk about that here in a few minutes, but anyway, got a great show for you. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
Go flight.
Music bed.
Go flight.
Microphone.
Go flight.
Video feed.
Go flight.
Web browser.
Go flight.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go flight.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
Whispering confirmed.
The Geek News Central Podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
5.
Button, who's got the button?
4.
There is no cause for alarm.
3.
Everybody hold on to something.
2.
Just press the button.
1.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Oahu. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. Of course, my name is Todd Cochran, and I want to encourage you to get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over there. Of course, check out our archive podcasts available via the podcast link. And for those of you that want to follow the other shows, it's very important. I did some updates to the website so that make it a little easier on navigation. When you're over at the website, really all you got to do now is in the subscribe sidebar, basically or subscribe information, you'll see subscribe and then a pipe and says show page. So all of the links on the, basically they're not, they don't look like a normal hyperlink. Try to keep it so that those weren't underlined. But it's where it says morning tech show, special media events, GNC video podcast, GNC audio podcast. You can click on any one of those. And that'll actually take you to the category in which those shows are listed under and all the content for them. So definitely get subscribed to the show, either via iTunes or Zune, or if you're using a BlackBerry, whatever device you're using, you can use your favorite podcatcher to be able to get subscribed to the show. That way you'll never miss a single episode of the show. As well, sign up for our newsletter while you're there. The newsletter can be found in the header. Get signed up to the newsletter. The newsletter basically is what I send out immediately following the show. Contains all the show notes, has every link for every article I talk about. This even the ones that are submitted by listeners or viewers like you. If you've got comments on today's show or want to provide feedback or provide me a link that you think that I may be interested in, you can do that by sending me an email at geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com, or you can call the hotline. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at +1, area code 619-342-7365. Of course, if you're watching us live on Ustream or on, where else we got, we're up on Justin tonight as well. Welcome to the show. And if you're watching the show DVR style, either via the Boxy or via Roku, thanks for being here. Of course, doesn't matter how you're listening or watching. I appreciate you being part of the Ohana here, being part of the family. And lots going on here in Honolulu. It's been an interesting. I basically took an extended weekend here. I know many of you had a holiday day off today. Some of you had to actually work as well. But I really kind of unplugged from doing new media stuff starting about 9 o'clock Saturday morning after we did the morning show, and then basically caught up on about. A month or two's worth of honey-do list. The missus is happy. The garage is clean. And we've got a lot of stuff accomplished around here. My office is spick and span. So it's just a nice to kind of wrap up the kind of extended weekend. And tomorrow we're back to the grind of putting money in podcasters' pockets. But this morning, my daughter left the house here at about, actually... Thankfully, my wife volunteered, and she took my daughter to drove her down to the drop-off point, and she ran the Great Aloha Run this morning, an 8.5 mile mini, and it's just an 8.5 mile run. They have runners. They have professionals. They have people that walk it. They have people that dress up in funny costumes. And so basically that kicked off at about 7 a.m., but she had to have her down there pretty early. She drove back to the house, got us all out of bed, kicked us out of bed, and we were down at the finish line at about 8:15 waiting for her to come in. And she did pretty good and finished up nicely. There was 27 to 30,000 people that participated. And then she was also involved in a high school challenge where they had 20 high schools participating for cash, essentially, for the school. And I think her school raised $3,000 or $4,000 for their participation in a multiple events over the weekend. So she's been busy and raising money for the school and basically participating on a community level as well. So had fun doing that. Was down at Aloha Stadium for 3 or 4 hours this morning and then came back to the house and just kind of kicked back the rest of the day. But a lot going on, and I'll be very busy tomorrow. I'm actually going to be doing interviews tomorrow for our new sales candidate, and we're actually hiring an advertising executive. So we look forward to bringing on a new employee at Raw Voice. So that process will probably be going on for another week here or so. So I'm just kind of going to just throw this out here. If any of you are one of our candidates and you've watched this show, make sure you mention it during the interview. Love to hear your, see if you're checking up on what we're doing or what I'm doing as a way of homework. If you haven't watched, then you're, you know, oh, well, you don't even know. But as I said, a lot going on here. But I do want to give thanks to our sponsor, GoDaddy.com. GoDaddy is a longtime sponsor here at Geek News Central. They are really the ones that are responsible for keeping the lights on and keep my family fed. So if you are in the process of picking up a domain name, dedicated server, virtual dedicated server, shared hosting account, whatever it may be, we encourage you to get over to GoDaddy.com and pick up one of their great products. And don't forget the promo codes. I've got some great ones for you. You can find those at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Some good ones that we're going on right now that are going to expire soon. We've got a 25% off coupon for new customers only using promo code CES25. Geek199 will get newcustomers.com domains at $1.99. Todd will save you 10% on non-domain orders. Geek5 will save you 15% on orders $20 or more. ComSale and ComSale 2 will get you additional discounts on .coms and .com renewals, along with a whole bunch of other codes there. Code Aloha, that'll save you some money on purchases over $75. Again, find all those codes at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Share those with your family, friends, people that you know, coworkers. Spread them far and wide because really it helps the show out here a great, great deal. And thanks for GoDaddy for being a continued sponsor here, and thank you for your support. Else looking at the list here, I spent, how many of you have attics? in Honolulu, in Hawaii, virtually there's no basements. In order to have a basement for a home, I think they need like to have mass explosives to be able to blow holes in the ground because it's all rock, you know? And so there's really no basements in Hawaii. So what you have is you have your garage, external storage, and whatever is in your crawl space. And somebody up in my... Oh, someone in the chat says, I thought you meant attics. Yeah, attic, not addicts. Oh, thanks, Langley. But anyway, part of the cleanup this week in the garage was me getting up in the attic and rearranging things up there. It must have been 125 degrees. And my wife was laughing at me because I come out of it just dripping wet. She said, well, you just dropped 5 pounds. I said, yeah, temporarily. But I think we're going to be exploring that... the solar ventilation this year. I think that's going to be the next home improvement project. Probably have to put two of them up there based on our square footage. But how many of you have got those and do you like them? Have they worked out well? And what manufacturer have you went with? So love to hear from the audience on just on a home improvement standpoint, what you've used. If you've ever put in one of those solar systems, it basically removes the heat from your attic. And I know probably many of you in the Midwest are like, what's that? But anyway, here you need it. So go along with some things this weekend is I actually, oh man, How many of you are big time or actually have read the series of books from Robert Jordan? You guys may remember back in 2007, Robert Jordan died before finishing the series Wheel of Time. And they brought in a ghostwriter to finish his series out. And they're going to do a 3-book series to finish out the books. I think it's going to be 13, 14, and 15 in the series. You know, with Borders declaring bankruptcy, one thing I was telling my wife, I said, have we got any gift cards from Borders? My son's in the back. So I got one in my wallet. My daughter's like, I've got one in my purse. And my wife is like, I've got one too. I said, let's go get rid of those things before the, Borders shuts down, taking back their gift cards. So I hadn't been a gift in a Borders in a couple of years, at least. And we went in there and I kind of see why they're bankrupt. But, I actually happened upon that section and saw that his books were out. And anyway, long story short, there is the I saw that the Robert Jordan series was out. I was like, oh man, I got to check that out. So I didn't get on Audible today to look and see if that book was there. You know, it's like 1,000 pages. I think that might be a little bit much for Audible. But I've been listening to a bunch of Audible books. And really has maximized some of my time when I'm, you know, I'm basically doing dumb work and I can listen to stuff. So be honest with you, I really love Audible, and I can get you guys a free book by, if you want to do a free trial yourself and go to audiblepodcast.com/CES, audiblepodcast.com/CES. But I think this book from Robert Jordan and his ghostwriter is one of those times where I'll have to go to probably over to Amazon and pick that up on the Kindle and actually read it. But 1,000 pages is a lot to get through, no matter what, if it's via Audible or if it's via reading itself. But it's a series I've been following for many, many years, and I'm looking forward to picking that series up. And my son was standing there, and of course, when we've moved, every time I move, I get rid of any of the paperbacks we have, because that's just weight you don't want to haul around. And I said, I'm going to have to get you started reading this series. And he was like, well, you know, didn't kind of know what it was about. So I went and purchased it for him. So he has been hogging my wife's iPad for the past about 18 hours. He's been absorbed in that book, book one of that series. So I know what it's going to be now, is I'm going to be going through and having to purchase that entire series for him. But pretty cool. And anyway, it was nice to see me be able to turn him onto a series of books. And, you know, it's kind of cool about your kids getting a little older, you know, stuff that you've read and that you're into. You can say, hey, this is a good series. Check this out. And turn them on to stuff that is good. And same thing with Audible stuff. So, hey, all of you, again, audiblepodcast.com/CES for that free trial. What else is my little list here? Yeah, we're still getting ready to launch the Gadget Show, and we'll be announcing the official name of the show here shortly, and in talks with two other people at this point. We had a local gentleman here in Honolulu express interest in doing a show, so I'll be talking with him next week. So I think we're up to 3 potential, one for sure, and 2 more potential shows. Matter of fact, we're in talks with a longtime tech support guy for Raw Voice, Michael Dell. He may be coming on as one of our show hosts doing a show. So I got to be talking with Michael next week about that too, kind of firming things up. So anyway, we're going to be launching some new shows here, and looking forward to bringing you a lot more tech and a heavy repetition rate. But make sure you check out the morning show. Talk a little bit more about that later in the show today. But we'll go ahead and get into the content here in a few minutes. But as always, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Of course, the voicemail hotline is +1-619-342-7365. Let me look at my list here real quick. Dun, dun, dun. Yes, I think I'm ready to move forward here. And we'll save the last sponsor spot to a little later in the show. And let me bring Chrome up so that we can get into the actual stack of stuff I have. First thing up is we're going to talk just a little real quick here about a couple of things that have been updated. The Motorola Zoom that many of you are have written me and basically said you're interested in picking up. The Motorola Zoom will get Flash 10.2 over the air within a few weeks of its launch. So this is pretty good that you're going to get the Flash update. Adobe will offer Flash 10.2 pre-installed on some tablets, but most of you are going to get it within a few weeks of Android 3 becoming available, which is expected to be, of course, on the Motorola Zoom. So we'll keep you advised on that, but you will definitely have good Flash capability on the Zoom. Those, you know, the cellular network, U.S. Cellular, I'm not really familiar with this cellular network. I guess it's out east, it's known. For those of you in the Midwest, I guess Chicago, those areas is where this company is really known for. Maybe they're bigger than that, I don't know. But U.S. Cellular's launched a promotion where if you buy one phone, basically what it is, here's their promotion, what it says. Anyone who buys a Samsung Mesmerize for just $99 can get up to 5 LG Optimus U smartphones free. Now, contract fees apply, and I have no idea what the what their family plans look like. But this is pretty cool. You buy one, you get 5 free, and they've dropped prices on additional Android-powered smartphones as well. It says all Android-powered phones are now under $100. So if you are a U.S. Cellular customer, you'll definitely want to check this deal out that they've got going on if it's time for you to upgrade your phone. For those audience members that listen to the show up in Canada, just a reminder that Zune HD launch in Canada is underway. So make sure you pick up the Zune HD. And Zune is not dead, even though everyone seems to think it is. And, of course, Rob Greenlee, who's on the morning show periodically, he can attest to Zune not being dead at all. And the best thing about Zune is, right in the main menu is podcaster list. And you can go right in and find this show and many other shows that are listed over there. And actually, I think we were featured either last week or the week next week or something like that. Some of our special media content's been featured. So definitely check that out. But anyway, the Zune Insider reminds us that the Zune HD launch of the Zune HD launch in Canada. Now, those of you that are motorcycle fans, and my wife loves crotch rockets, and she's kind of graduated to the point where she's telling me it's time to buy a Harley. But I've never been a big motorcycle person. I had a few instances where I was a kid where I'm a little clumsy. So cars, when you have four wheels, you don't have to worry about any truly stabilization issues unless you get a little fast into a corner, right? Or you do something stupid. But you get on a motorcycle, there's a little more mobile dexterity that's needed. And so when I showed her this new motorcycle, the ECRP, and running on an electric motor, basically it's completely electric. And they were showing the performance on this thing. For those of you that have the need for speed and of the two-wheel variety, I don't know what this thing is going to cost. I'm sure they're not going to be giving it away, and it's probably going to be very expensive. But you'll definitely want to check out the ECRP. And to be honest with you, it's probably way beyond the average Joe's price range here, because it looks to me like this bike is completely race-ready. So that tells you the kind of performance this thing is going to make. But anyway, I have the link up in the show notes for you. Engadget was talking about it, and I found the link over there. So when you hear this thing, man, it makes just a very unique sound. Now, for some reason, I've found like two or three things today that were all Chicago-related. But it appears the city of Chicago is getting ready to install 73 fast-charging EV stations by the end of the year. And here's what's wild. You would think that all these car manufacturers, Chevy with the Volt, the Ford Focus, you've got the Nissan Leaf, you've got Mitsubishi iMIEV, I think that's what it's called, iMEV or whatever they're calling this, would all have the ability to be charged from the same charging station. Well, I guess not. And this just blows me away that the car manufacturers are allowed to get away with this crap. All of them should have came together and figured out standard plug, standard charging stations. So what's really happening is these 73 fast charging EV stations that are being put in place in Chicago will only service those folks that are driving the Nissan Leaf or the Mitsubishi iMEV. It appears that the Volt and the Ford Focus do not support what they're calling a level 2 charging. So I don't know if they're level 1 or whatever it is, but the Leaf and the Mitsubishi, you can plug it in and get a pretty fast charge, whereas the Ford Focus and the Chevy Volt charge at a much slower rate. So this is a mess. You know, this is ridiculous. There needs to be some sort of standards here. And it doesn't appear that the auto producers are ready and willing to commit to a single fast charging solution. So I think as you are perusing car dealers and you're getting to talk to salespeople and anyone that you have a direct link to in the automobile industry, you need to speak up. But, you know, imagine this. Imagine you've got a Volt and you pull into some place to get a charge and you're like, hey, tough. We don't have your type of fuel. You know, we can't charge you because this charging station's for Nissan Leaf and Mitsubishi owners only. So it's just ridiculous. It honestly is. So time will tell. All right, just, you know, let's talk a little bit more about Apple and the shenanigans that they have decided to pull. Big time criticism coming out now by companies. The folks over at Readability this morning just came off the top rope and they really took their middle finger and flipped Apple off. They are not happy. They had spent a lot of money on a new app for the iPhone and for the iPad. They had submitted it, and Apple rejected it, basically saying, hey, we want our cut. You can't put this on the marketplace. We want our money. And Readability basically says, what Readability does is they take sites that have a lot of advertising, and sometimes people just want to see the text. They don't want to see the other garbage around the website. So Readability would just pull the excerpts, put it into a readable format, and without the ads. And then based on the subscriptions that they would have, they would give 70% of their earnings back to the content writers, the bloggers that this content was coming from. And the other 30% was their margin. This is the same way that Raw Voice works. I mean, we give 70% of our advertising dollars back to the content creators, and our cut's 30%. And so Readability's like, you want me to give you 30% off the top? You know, how am I going to pay? I don't have a business model no more. My business is destroyed. But what Readability basically has said, that if Apple's willing to pay the 70% of the subscription back to the content creators, they could go along with that. So I don't think that's going to happen. But anyway, in a blog post, it says the 30% drastically undermines the key premise of how Readability works, and that, frankly, Apple's new subscription policy as whole smacks of greed. It leaves us in a bind at the moment as the nature of the business doesn't give leeway to agree to Apple's terms. So they are they're abandoning their app and they are going web only. So I could see now where Google's initiative to have more mobile apps look like, okay, excuse me, more web experiences look like a mobile experience. In other words, you go to google.com and on your mobile, it looks in the browser the exact same way and operates the exact same way an app would. And they're introducing some standards to do that. And it's not going to be easy to get that implemented. But I think with what's going on with Apple and them trying to extort, and we talked a lot about this in the morning show this previous Saturday, was that, hey, you know, this is an issue that we're all going to have to deal with here soon. And, you know, I've been pretty adamant to my team. As a matter of fact, you know, one of the things we were worried about and I've been worried about for a long time, is the absolute control that Apple has of their ecosystem. And while you can't hardly afford not to be there, at the same time, it comes at a price. And companies are finding out now it's going to come at a price of 30%. And that's ridiculous. Now, I don't know if we're going to see some lawsuits soon or not, or if the Department of Justice is going to get involved. But 30% just for the right to make, to sell a subscription is a little bit insensitive. Now, you can only cut that pie of money so many times. And that's one of the challenges that we've had, is that many times I'll get someone that come to me as a reseller of an advertiser. You got the company, then you've got someone that's gotten some content, they've sold it, and then someone's trying to resell to me. And so that money's been cut two or three times already. And by the time it trickles down and someone tries to run advertising on my show or somewhere else, there's just a piece left, while all the people up the food chain have gotten this huge amount of, taking their cut all the way down. And we got to get rid of these middle guys. We need to go as close to the source as we can. And we try to do that as much as possible. But it's just one of those deals now where, Apple's saying 30% or else. But I'd love to hear you guys' feedback on this. What do you think about Apple's extortion rate? It's like the mafia walking into your store and say, "Hey, how much you got in the register? I got $500 in the register. Well, give me $150. Just give it to me. And if you don't, I'll make sure your business stays open." And that's what it is. Except it's they're legal to do it without a gunpoint. Now that's my opinion on the matter. All right, there's a new app out that's probably destined to be killed here soon, but it's called Facebook Messenger. It's an iPhone app that gives you another voice IP option. And I'm sure this is not going to last long, but what it is it connects into the software layer at Facebook and other apps that you have, and it allows you to see when your friends and so forth are online, and allows you to do a voice IP connection with them. So it's a little buggy yet, but this made the news over to Engadget as well. But this is kind of a cool little option here. But it's available for $2.99. We'll see how long it's available. If it doesn't get yanked down by Apple here next few days, I'll be surprised. Hey, let's talk about the Anaheim School District. Any of you got kids in Anaheim School District? Well, I guess they're handing out. They're saying handing out and not attaching, but they're saying handing out GPS trackers to chronically absent students. Okay, your kids missed, skipped out of school a couple of times, and all of a sudden they say, "Hey, you look like you're a habitual, ditcher. So what we're going to do here, and with your parents' consent, we're going to make you check in about five times a day, and we're going to give you a GPS that basically tracks your whereabouts." Now, they do this with gang people and people on, probation, and there's all kinds of things going on with these GPS trackers in home, when you're got in-home detention, and I think Lindsay Lohan was wearing one of these for a while, along with a lot of other people. But basically, they track where you're at, and if you go out beyond those boundaries, it flags you. Same type of technology here being used with the high school students, and it's tracking chronically absent, not even high schoolers, 7th and 8th graders. And the parents have to volunteer to have a tracker assigned to the child in question. And from there, they need to enter code five times per day in order to pass muster. Now, I don't know here. What's to stop a kid from just throwing this thing in the locker, right? Now, obviously, they got to check in. Does that mean they got to hold the device and check in, or how does this work? But they got 75 students that are using this thing. And this is based, and they feel that they're going to be very successful with this, because they've already done trials in San Antonio and in Baltimore with some high school kids, and have had good success with it. So we'll see how this works out. Next thing you know, one of these kids is going to be tearing one of these devices apart and figuring out how to get the code put in electronically without them having to do it. That's what it'll be next. Hey, this next one, you guys are going to love this. How many of you have watched a movie and swore that there was a product placement put within the movie? Well, for those of you in the UK, good news. There's going to be a new logo that basically the BBC is requiring shows to display and movies to display whenever there's a product placement. So apparently, someone holds up a Coke can or talks about Red Bull or talks about Diet Coke or Nokia or talks about any other type of product that's being placed there, and they are getting paid to do that, they're going to have to put a little P symbol on the screen. And that's pretty cool. I think that's something we should have here in the United States. I would be happy to put up a little P during the show when I'm doing my sponsor messages or if I'm doing a product placement or something, but I don't do product placements. So anyway, they are they're implementing this, and advertising embedded in internationally sourced films and shows has been long tolerated as a necessary evil within the UK system, but now essentially the regulators are basically saying that hey, you're going to have to do this. And any future episodes that come from Hollywood that contain, again, that stray product placement, well, I have to have that P put in there. I think this is fantastic. I really, really do. So we'll see how many product placements are really in these. Or maybe those of you in the UK can report back to us and tell us how many, you know, how many products are, and how many of the times that P shows up during a movie or so forth. Michael Dell, one of our writers, of course, here at Geek News Central, is doing a test this week. He's got himself a Chrome C48, our Google C48 notebook. This is the second one my team members have received. And he's going to be using the Google Chrome OS for a week. And he talks about day one of his experience. He'll be writing blog articles about it. And we'll see how he does. He's having some challenges getting images implanted into the blog post, but he's going to see if he can get that figured out. So follow along this week as Mike walks us through what's going on and how he likes Chrome. So I'd like to see a post on that every day. Hey, another thing that's going on is Ford is doing a lot more than just building cars. They're doing basically some tests right now. It's called Ford's Prediction Market. And basically, the basis of this is that Ford is trying to improve their predictions and future trends. And they're using a new analytical tool, which takes the idea of a stock market and applies it to new products and ideas that are in development. This cloud-based prediction tool runs on the Inking platform. And over 1,300 employees from in the United States and Europe have participated in this quote-unquote test stock market or test product market. They were asked a question and then given a sense of a series of answers and have to pick one of those answers. Then they have to predict if that choice will rank among the highest among all answers. If the rest of the traders think the trade has a 59% of being the highest in the price, basically it ranks stuff by ideas and gives it a value. So anyway, this is how researchers at Ford are now looking into new additional ways of incorporating the prediction market model into its business practices. So basically, they're, you know, it's another way of doing, you know, product idea ranking or, you know, and I'm sure this will probably come to the consumer at some point where they'll say, hey, what do you think about this? You like this or you like this? And they'll probably build a lot of metrics from that. I want to talk just a little bit about the morning show this past Saturday. Had a guest Norbert Davis from Totally Cool Tech on at totallycooltech.com. And we had Dr. Bill from drbill.tv. And this is the first time I got a chance really to talk with Dr. Bill at any length. And we dug into the growing number of net-based verticals. And we talked about the forces that they're applying against companies. And, of course, we knew Twitter threw down the gauntlet this past week on Uber Gizmo or whatever that company's name is. We'll get to that a little later. But we spend a lot of time talking about Apple, talking about Twitter, talking about these companies that are essentially silos. And you basically, you get into their ecosystem and build a business around that, and how quickly they can pull the rug out from underneath your feet. And we dug into some other stuff as well. Great 90-minute show. I hope you'll take the time to watch it or listen to it. Make sure you get subscribed to it, of course. One thing that's always bothered me on the Mac, and I saw this article today over on Life Hackers. Oh, man, this is perfect. How do I know how to do this now. You know, in Windows, if I want to open two instances of an application, and this is what happens to me a lot. A lot of times I'll be working in spreadsheets. So I have one Excel spreadsheet in one window, and I want to have another Excel spreadsheet in another. So I'll open an instance of Microsoft Excel, and I'll drag it over into one window. Then I'll launch a second instance of Microsoft Excel so I can see both the Excel spreadsheets at the same time. I don't want to have to be minimizing one and, you know, resizing the screen. It just makes it easier to work and look back and forth between the spreadsheets. I've never been able to do that with Mac, with OS X. And so Lifehacker's saying, hey, here's how you do this. If you want to open up one PDF in one and then a PDF in another, and or the same PDF in two separate PDF players, you have to do this like command line garbage. I thought there would be like some easy click method you could do to launch something twice, and it doesn't. This is insane. And I don't know how, if I was using a Mac every day, this would drive me crazy, because I really do require the use of being able to load stuff up twice sometimes. And but anyway, there's a way to do it, but you gotta, you know, you gotta open a command line to make it happen. And I'm like, what is this? There's gotta be an easier way. So those of you that are Mac users out there, email me here at geeknews@gmail.com and please tell me that I don't have to type open space dash n parentheses path /2/file.pdf end quotation. Please tell me I don't have to do that. There's got to be a right click or, oh yeah, give me a break. How do you do that on a Mac? Someone tell me, please. And tell me I don't have to do this command line thing. And some of you are probably in Mac like, why would you need two things opened at once? Well, believe me, he's working as many spreadsheets as I do in different applications. It's a lot easier sometimes to have running two instances of two different spreadsheets and so forth. But anyway, link will be up in the show notes on this. Now, the folks at Google are talking about killing the URL bar. And my question is, what do you guys think about that? Where do your allegiances lay? Do you feel that if you could access it through a pull down window, that'd be sufficient? Would you hate it if it was really gone? Do you want it gone? Do you want the space savings? You know, where does your allegiance lay in the in the thought or process that they're removing the URL bar, or they're going to hide it? So I don't like anything is hidden. It's just easier to just boop, drop your mouse in or drop your cursor in there, and boom, you make the change. I'm in the market that I want my URL bar to be there at all times. And sometimes sometimes you hide it by mistake, and then you go back and you're like, oh man, why did I do that? You know, please let me figure out a better way to do this. So what do you guys think? Where do you want to be on this? Geeknews@gmail.com, voicemail hotline 619-342-7365. How many of you use GIMP? I use GIMP quite a bit, and it's a pretty capable product. And in the price is right. It's free. But did you know there's some additions that you can add to GIMP, some cool stuff that you can add? I got a good article over at makeuseof.com that talks about some stuff that you can do with GIMP that I wasn't familiar with. And, it's simple to install, and it's available just by, just type in GIMP, you'll find it. And there's some cool stuff you can do to really to increase the viability of it. And this article will talk about how you do that. So I have this link up in the show notes. Again, this was at makeuseof.com. The folks over at GigaOM on their new TV site have come up with 5 steps to cutting the cord. And any of you that have been really sitting on the fence here about cutting the cord, you're going to want to check this out. If you're tired of paying that money out every month, do what I've done, and it cut the cord, all right? So $80, $100 per month is a lot of savings when you don't have to send them that check any longer. But number one is get an antenna. That's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to put the old antenna back up so that you can get your local HD channels. And then you got to find that content you're looking for online. And you're going to have to go to Hulu and CBS and a variety of sites to find that content. Number 3, you're going to want to get that TV connected, whether it be through Xbox 360, through the PlayStation, whether it be a Roku box or the Boxy box or all of the above. And then they got some great tips on what to do and making basically the transition go better. And then, of course, 5th is make that call and make that cancellation and get out of that monthly payment, because there are alternatives today. I'd like to see you guys join me in being the part of the cable cutter generation and saying goodbye to our cable bills. And really what it's done here, believe it or not, is my wife is, I'm like, honey, you know, we're saving this money, and she is at the point where we are going to have to buy her a new vehicle at some point, or a used vehicle probably buy. And we've been putting money away. And the way I buy vehicles, the way I try to buy vehicles is I pay myself a monthly car payment, even though I'm not paying the bank. So over time, that fund gets built up, and we're about to the point where we can pull the trigger on something. And she's pretty excited because that money that we're saving from the from cutting the cord, we've been able to take that piece of money that we were using before and dropping that into that fund that we basically build up to buy that buy the next vehicle. And I tell you, folks, that is the best thing going. That is the way to buy a car. And I know some of you buy a car every 2-3 years. You know, I drive cars. You guys know my history. My vehicle that I had that had the most miles on it was 670,000. My Volvo, I ran it up to 300 something. The vehicle I got now is the first vehicle that I bought brand new in 20 years. But what I, you know, again, every month we pay ourselves as if we had a car payment. And when we get ready to go buy a vehicle, we got cash money to pay. And believe me, you save a lot of money. You walk in there, say, I'll just write you a check. And that gives you some serious bargaining power. And boom, 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 that price comes right off the top of that vehicle. You can save a lot of money doing that. But that's how we're, you know, what we're putting the extra money at. So she's like, boy, this is going to get me closer to being able to get a new vehicle sooner. So she's all excited about it and have been thumbs up for doing this. All right, now. If you are part of the rich and famous crowd, boy, have I got something for you. And actually, I should buy one of these things and have it here in Honolulu and actually rent it out, because I'm sure the tourists would absolutely go crazy over it. And let me bring this up. You can have your own compact submarine now. And it looks like a little pontoon boat. But instead of sitting on deck, you're under the water. And you can have one of these yourself. It's available now. And they're about $100,000. And it runs off 12 8-volt batteries. And it can go about 4 hours of cruising and a 6 to 10-hour charge. And, you know, you can run some tourists around if you've got a lake or you've got an ocean to go out in. This thing does not appear to completely submerge. So that's the only thing. And I was kind of like, okay. But anyway, you guys can check this out. It's pretty cool. But it can be yours for $100,000. And it's definitely a bargain as compared to a lot of the other stuff out there. But I can see a lot of resorts and stuff buying these things and having a driver, and this will be how it take you out on a little guided tour. You just probably don't want to turn the keys over this thing to someone that's flying in and has no clue what they're doing. Now, here in Hawaii, man, you know, stealing bikes is pretty big business. A lot of bike theft goes on. Of course, it happens in a lot of cities as well. But there's times, you know, that I see people that sit up there, prop their bike up against a wall and run into a store. And I'm thinking, man, they're just asking for trouble. But Ogizmo has a pretty cool new bike alarm. And basically, it's designed for those short stops where you're not tying it up. Maybe you're going to be 1 or 2 minutes in a store. And you don't want to go through the process of chaining the thing up. But what this does, it's got a little motion detector. And it's basically attaches. And you can't take it off real easy. And it uses a little keypad to arm it and disarm it. And you can set the different levels of sensitivity on it. So if someone grabs a thing, it's going to squeal for 15 seconds. And if it does, they don't stop moving the bicycle, it continues to scream. So at least if you're in the store and you hear this going on, you can go out and yell at the guy to stop as he's riding it away. But this is an anti-theft alarm and available cheap. But how much is it? This can't be that cheap. It's $3.99. What a deal. $3.99. It's available at virtualvillage.com. So again, this is another article from Ogizmo. We got one more from them. And I really want this, but I don't think I can get wife buy-off on this. Fellas, you got cookie jars in your house? Well, are you a Star Wars fan? How about one of these for the cookie jar? It's a Death Star cookie jar. And, I think this would be pretty cool. You can get this from StarWarsShop.com for $49.99. And it's a cookie jar that looks just like the Death Star. Trekkie, I know. Star Wars fans, Trekkie fans, anyone that's into that genre will probably got to have one of these. I just don't think it'll fit the decor. I don't think my wife would let me go for it. I really don't. But maybe I'll send her an email and say, honey, how about one of these? It may end up on the shelf back here somewhere and not be used as a cookie jar. All right, let's go back into the tech a little bit. Let's go into the law side. How many of you use Usenet? How many of you have a commercial account to a Usenet service? Well, over in the Netherlands, the anti-piracy group Bren, B-R-E-I-N, have spent a significant amount of time really trying to shut down, you know, file sharing sites. And Bren is now reporting that it's just forced closure of 11 Usenet-related sites with a combined membership in excess of 900,000 people. And this is crazy. It's crazy stuff. They've shut down nzbkingdom.net, twilightnzb.com, furionnzb.net. Boy, they all sound familiar here. shreknzb.com. TeamCasanova.com, CrossPost.nl, goes on and on and on here. None that I'm familiar with. But apparently, these are all sites that were doing a lot of binary business. And that's amazing. And this shuts all those sites down. 900,000 members are going to have to go looking for new Usenet accounts if they want to get binaries off those. Of course, what binaries are is the Usenet feeds usually have zero-day files, in other words, zero-day programs being released with hacks and codes to be able to basically register them, and you basically have copyright infringement. But anyway, they've shut these domains down, these Usenet sites, and 900,000 people are without their Usenet service right now. Google has gotten involved in the BitTorrent search engine lawsuit, and IsoHunt is in a furious battle right now with the NPAA. And there's an injunction that's being currently enforced that really started back in 2006. But IsoHunt has wanted Google to get in on the action because IsoHunt's challenge was that, hey, we're no different than Google. We're a search engine. And Google's been keeping an eye on this too. And apparently, Google has decided to weigh in. Google asked both ISO Hunt and the MPAA for their consent in filing a brief with the court. The movie studios didn't want Google to take part. Surprise, surprise. But ISO Hunt did. Now, here's the thing that's really kind of flipped things on their ears here, is that ISO Hunt went ahead and, Google went ahead and filed the brief. And basically, Google agreed that there was plenty of evidence that ISO Hunt encourages users to download copyright infringement content. But in the discussion on the relation between inducement and liability, the Grokster standard is ignored. And so basically, Google wants to address the some of the issues that they feel the initial judgment was incorrect on. They may feel that it could lead to a negative outcome for them as well. Another major issue that Google addresses is the court's analysis of the DMCA Safe Harbors Act in the inducement of copyright infringement. According to Google, this discussion can severely impact legit businesses like YouTube. But Google states that it's apparent that ISO Hunt doesn't fall under DMCA safe harbor protection since it failed to meet several of the requirements. So there's a whole bunch of stuff going on here, but ISO Hunt got some stuff in their favor. The MPAA got some stuff in their favor. But really what it's done is they filed a brief to serve Google. Google likes parts of it. They don't like other parts of it. And the parts that they don't like, they're going after aggressively, and the stuff that they just, oh yeah, ISO Hunt, they threw them to the wolves here. So they're not like us. They were doing copyright infringement. But they just basically focused on the DMCA part and also the portion of the Grokster standard. And I don't know what that Grokster standard is, and we'll have to follow this a little bit more closely. But TortFrink, which this article is on, contacted the ISO Hunt owner, and he appeared to be disappointed and would not comment on the implications of the Google brief. His lawyer was asked to comment but didn't respond. Of course, the MPAA has not commented as well. But Google is sticking their nose in here. We'll see where this leads. Now, if you live in Sweden and you get whacked for file sharing and they basically come after you for some money, you'll be good to know that they're a little more reasonable in Sweden. The initial judgment against this individual who had 26-year-old gentleman. He was being accused of pirating 44 tracks, making them available on peer-to-peer networks. And he was originally assigned a fine of about $40 a track. And ultimately, the fine was reduced down to just $7 per track. Total payable penalty was $311. And so basically, it's a lot different than the $1.5 million in damages that Jamie Ersatt and Joel Tienbaum, who basically $1.5 on one and $67,000 on the other. Quite a bit of difference there in payment amounts. So at least the Swedish court reduced it to a reasonable penalty. $7 a track. So considering you buy it at 99 cents each, yeah, seven times damages. Hotfile's been accused of being basically an infringer as well by the MPAA. And if you've got a Hotfile account and you have been using it for illegitimate purposes, in other words, sharing copyrighted material, Hotfile's been going around killing accounts like they're just killing, basically shutting as many accounts down as they can. And then basically people are finding that their accounts are suspended and they're getting an email saying, your account has been terminated due to repeated copyright infringement violations. The users are very upset. But they're a little bit worried, it appears, about their lawsuit with the MPAA and the pending litigation. But they're acting very rapidly to respond to DMCA takedown notices and shutting accounts down in a hurry. So we'll see. We'll see how this turns out. But maybe this is the last haven for people to, you know, that some of this stuff is going to definitely go more underground. How many of you remember me talking a couple of years ago about Asterix? Asterix is an application. It's a Unix application that allows you essentially to run your own phone exchange It's a little more complicated than that, but that's basically it. But now they're saying if you have Asterix plus OpenBTS, you can become your own wireless carrier. Obviously, you need some some software here and hardware. But OpenBTS, Open Base Transceiver Station, is a free software implementation of the GSP protocol, allowing the creation of software-based GSM access points that enable standard GSM mobile phones to make phone calls without using traditional wireless providers' networks. In other words, create your own homebrew cellular network. And this is over at blog.tmcnet.com. And what they've done here is, and this is used at Burning Man. They set one of these up last year. They got licensing permission to do that on a low-power basis. But if you build one of these in your house and you set one of these up, you may want to turn it off periodically because you may have the FCC triangulating your location for running an illegal cellular network. But pretty cool stuff here. Asterix tied to OpenBTS. You can become your own cellular provider in the neighborhood. I'm sure that will make the local GSM providers very happy. But it does have some practical applications. This was originally developed to essentially be a substitute to some of the femtocell stuff going on. A little more complicated, obviously, but we'll see how this breaks out. But the folks from Burning Man love it because they were able to get all the people at Burning Man, have them remain connected and making phone calls. So pretty cool stuff. All right, let's talk about some space news here. Space Shuttle Discovery, they're all set to launch, and everyone's saying the extended weather forecast for this week looks pretty good, and they should be ready to make the trip to the International Space Station. But the shuttle crew has arrived at the Cape, and it's going to be all ready to go. The countdown starts here in a couple of days, and with the expected launch, of course, here at the end of the week. But great news, and we'll see how this countdown goes, and hopefully they're able to make the trip because, you know, they've had all kinds of technical issues here over the past several months with foam and cracks and bad weather and you name it. Probably, you know, based on everything that they found, it's probably lucky that they didn't go on their first launch attempt. Now, one thing I read that kind of blew me away was, you know, last on Valentine's Day, we had that huge solar eruption. And, you know, I thought, boy, oh, boy. And when that happened, I just wondered, you know, of course, are the International Space Station astronauts going to have to go into the part of the station where it provides them the most shelter from radiation? But it turns out that this solar storm was actually made the activities in and around the International Space Station safer than what they normally are. And what this does, they're finding out, are these mass corneal ejections by the sun, which some of them can be, don't get me wrong, are dangerous, but the one that was pumped out by the sun last week essentially kind of clears the minefield. It goes through and creates this like big shockwave that's all the way around the Earth, and obviously you have the Aurora Borealis effect, and there's all kinds of stuff that goes on there, but also it protects the astronauts because they're within the Earth's magnetic field, that when this happens, it kind of just like, it's like a broom, it cleans out all the stuff that is inbound from, or protects stuff that's inbound from deep space, and pretty interesting write-up here. I'd have thought it'd been just the opposite, but it wasn't. And they just basically, it says it sweeps the cosmic rays away, the true dangerous, you know, cosmic emissions that are barreling towards Earth at all time and being penetrated. Of course, big solar events, again, can be dangerous, but this one specifically was not. Another thing in the space news today is they're talking about an update on why Mars is losing its atmosphere. And we all know that, you know, there's not much of an atmosphere as it is on Mars. Although they, you know, we've seen dust devils and all kinds of stuff from the rovers before. But basically, it's based on solar events. And it's high sun activity, high, you know, solar sunspot activities. It is when Mars, I guess, leaks more of its ions into the into deep space. So, pretty cool information here. This is some information that they have deducted from years of studying the Mars atmosphere. But there's going to be a new spacecraft called the MAVEN that's going to be going to Mars in the fall of 2014. The MAVEN is going to put itself in a high elliptical orbit where it's going to basically skim the outer atmosphere. They're going to swoop down as low as 80 miles above the surface, and they're going to be sampling the upper Mars atmosphere for about a one. They're saying it's going to be one Earth year, and then after that's done, they're going to send, because that science will come back, and then they're going to put that satellite in a different, or that spacecraft in a different orbit, and use it as a relay station. So, pretty cool stuff. And you know, we're sending a lot of stuff to Mars. There's going to be more satellites above Mars pretty soon than, let's just think about it. All the stuff we've been sending to Mars, it's pretty amazing. And we got another robot that's going to be on its way shortly as well. Over on the Daily Galaxy at dailygalaxy.com, I want you guys to contemplate this. How many of you that in the audience are under 40? Well, they say right now that you could be of the first to potentially live to be 1,000 years old. Some real heavy-duty scientists, some very smart scientists, say they're 10 to 20 years away from really starting to isolate stuff within the human genome that's really going to make it potentially the ability to delay or completely stop people from growing old, which I find to be kind of Star Wars-y. But the government's been spending about $2.4 billion a year to, you know, figure out how to keep people from aging. And they've been focusing, obviously, on aging-specific diseases like heart failure and cancer. So, you know, of course, there's a big, there's huge money being spent to try to figure out how to cure cancer in all cases. And that will in itself reduce mortality rate. Heart failure, you know, I fully believe in 20, 30 years, you're just going to order yourself a new heart. But we'll see. We'll see where this goes. But chasing the fountain of youth, man has been doing that for a while. Would you want to live? If I could live for 1,000 years, that would be cool, long as I had all my facilities. You know, they got to figure out a way to keep the brain from going off the rocker as well. But with as much damage as we do on our bodies, I just don't. Yeah, good luck. We'll see how that one turns out. Some pretty cool pictures from the International Space Station from the recent launch of the ATV Kepler. And I have that up in the show notes. You're going to love this. I'm just going to put an article up that basically says real reason why students need computers at college. And you guys will get the gist of the story just when I link it up. Hopefully your college student is not doing this in class, but it just goes to show you what college students are really doing. Hey, that's really some disgusting news coming out of Libya. Of course, we heard about these Mirage fighter jets, two of them who have defected to Malta after not wanting to drop bombs on protesters in Libya. Insane. Can you imagine? Just imagine. But anyway, these two pilots, have both senior colonels, have asked for political asylum after landing. So we'll see. We'll see what this, how this goes. You know, I was running track in high school. My coach used to take us out a couple miles out of town. We used to run a hill. Well, there's some students that are going to a class or going to a school that they built the hill into the track. And you guys are going to love this. These track team members are not going to be happy doing practice on this baby. But I saw this, I'm like, man, what an ingenious idea. What a smart, smart school. And I don't know where this is at, but this is one of the coolest track designs I've ever seen. And found the link over on gizmodo.com. Have a link up in the show notes for you. Hey, what if you were doing a review with your boss and your boss said, hey, you know, we're doing your semi-annual review, or we're doing your annual review, or we're doing a security update on you, give me your Facebook, Twitter. Let me give you your MySpace username and logins. Let me go. We need to log in there and take a look. Would you reveal your Facebook password to get a job? Well, obviously, this happened. He was applying for a correction officer's job and was asked to give over his social media account information. And they did. They went into his social media account and read posting to his family and friends. Going a little far, a lot far. And I'm sure there's going to be a lot of organizations involved in talking about this. Okay, how many of you had to change a tire in the rain? How many of you had to change one in the driveway? How many of you hate that little thing, that tool they give you to jack up your car? Well, I have the best video in the world for you to see on how to simple solution to avoid the pain of lifting that car up. And when you see this, you're going to be like, why didn't I think of that? I have the link up in the show notes. You guys can check it out. Okay. Boy, let's talk about Twitter and Uber Media. I said Uber Gizmodo earlier. Uber Media got shut down by Twitter. They cut them off at the knees, disconnected them from the internet. Basically, all their applications, Uber Twitter, Twidroid, some others, were not able to connect to Twitter. Twitter flipped the kill switch and shut down those apps. So how many of you use Uber Twitter on the Android phone? Well, Twitter said the reasons were simple. Trademark infringement, breaches of terms of service. But you know what? Why didn't they just give these folks a warning? There was, how many tens of thousands of users were shut out because Twitter basically pulled the plug on them? It's very scary when you have a company that is big as Twitter, that has as much growth in its space because of people developing apps. A lot of growth purely driven by those apps. And then they throw the kill switch on them without warning. They made them change the Uber Twitter's name. It's now Uber Social. And a whole bunch of stuff. Supposed advertising within the tweets. Lots of commentary about this over the weekend. But, they didn't really affect Uber Media. They made them change. Who they affected was the end users. Do they care about the end users? Obviously not. But essentially, they've sent two things here. It's safer to use a client made by Twitter, which Twitter wants you to do. And Twitter's basically said, we're going to kill you if we feel like you're violating your terms of service. Again, another silo that all of us need to sit back and go, All right, Windows 8. Yes, Windows 8's coming. Microsoft's on the verge of finalizing Windows 8 Milestone 2 build. The software giants compiled a number of Milestone 2 builds recently, but the final M2 build is ready. This is just another step in being able to be ready to come out with Windows 8. So, very cool. We'll see what happens here. Hey, you going to Vegas anytime soon? If you are, I want you to stay at the Luxor. Luxor Las Vegas. Luxor Las Vegas took care of us significantly. Man, they really took care of us during CES. And if you're planning a trip out there, click on the link to the Luxor on my website at geeknewscentral.com and save a lot of money. They've got some great rates. They've got some great promotions here. All through the summer. You'll definitely want to check them out. And a great promotion runs from essentially today until September 30th. And you got to make your booking, though, before May 31st. But deals go away from Geek News Central here soon. So make your reservations to go out to Luxor and stay at Luxor Las Vegas and support the show. Let them know that you're staying because you supported them. They've really done a great job in updating the rooms and all the stuff that's there. And it's, of course, right there on the Strip. And check them out, Luxor Las Vegas. Two posts today, one by the New York Times and one by the folks over at WordPress. And especially Matt, it was over on Matt's website, Matt Mug, Mullenweg, or however you pronounce Matt's last name. Someone's going to correct me here. But anyway, New York Times is basically saying that blogs are waning as young drift to sites like Twitter. Some of these young guys say, I don't use blog anymore. I use Twitter and I use Facebook. Well, a lot of my traffic's coming from Twitter and Facebook. Blogs are still viable. And Matt goes into saying, hey, check this out. He said, one thing they failed to talk about is that stats show all the major blogging surfaces growing, even Blogger, whose global unique visitors rose 9% from 323 million, meaning it grew about four squares last year alone. In the same time frame, WordPress.com grew about 80 million uniques, according to Quantcast.com. He says blogging is still growing. People are finding that they can't do everything with 140 characters. Over on Ars Technica, they did a test of iPhone Verizon versus AT&T. And boy, again, AT&T whooped all over Verizon in a big way. And I'm sure this is what's causing the growth rate on Verizon to be a lot slower than they expect. They are very disappointed in sales. So if you got the need for speed and you don't want to switch, it may be just good to stay with AT&T at this point, unless you're so sick of them drop calls. You're definitely not going to have as many drop calls, but the data services are slow. Canadians are still speaking out and raging against metered billing, even though they've kind of gotten a reprieve here. Comments are still coming into CRTC, and basically it's the Canadian Radio, Television, and Telecommunications Commission are still taking comments, and boy, it's, people are still raging against the machine there. So congratulations to you in Canada that are calling your regulators out, and don't let them do that to you, okay? Hey, how many of you know that Westboro Baptist Church? Those are these individuals that go around protesting dead military members. They actually go to the funerals and protest them. I just can't even talk how disgusting that is. Whatever your political view is on the war, it doesn't matter. When someone comes home that has been killed from serving our country, they need to. Need respect, and the family should be given time to grieve and, allow them to put their family members to rest. And this group has done a lot of nasty things, and there's people out there, freedom riders, that try to, protect the families when this group is protesting them. Well, anyway, they are setting themselves up for a big fight here. The group Anonymous, which we've talked a little bit about here in the last couple of weeks, supposedly sent them a letter saying, hey, cease and desist, or we're going to go after you. And Westboro basically responded and saying, hey, bring it on. Well, Anonymous has replied publicly saying, hey, we didn't say anything. We didn't send them a letter. We're not targeting them. And it appears that maybe the Westboro Church wrote the anonymous posting to try to get some attention. I tell you, that's the kind of attention I don't think they want. If the anonymous decides to go after them, it probably would be very ugly. I would not imagine their IT system surviving very long. But anyway, kind of a weird way to get publicity, but definitely got them in the news and got me to talk about it. So what do you guys think? GeekNews@gmail.com, voicemail hotline 619-342-7365. Running long here. I'm going to have to wrap this up soon, even though I got some articles still on the tap here. Donations are pouring in for the PS3 hacker. Basically, George Holtz, he is in the middle of a long, punishing legal battle with Sony, and his money's running out. He basically made a plea saying, I need money to fight them on to hire more lawyers. The folks over at Ars did a reach out to his lawyers to make sure that this was the real deal, and the lawyers said, yes, we're raising money to hire more legal counsel. So I guess money's just poured in like crazy, and they reached their goal, the amount of money that they needed to raise to hire more legal staff. And he's saying, hey, this isn't about piracy. He says, I'm not an advocate against mass piracy and do not distribute anyone's copyright work, but I do take Basically, he says he feels when he buys something, he should be able to do whatever he wants with it. Crack it, hack it, mess with it. He says, I tear it into everything. So, that he owns. He says, the courts agree with him on that point so far, but there's some other stuff that the courts have taken to task on. So this could be a long fight for Sony, and some people with deep pockets have sent cash to him. They don't need, I guess he doesn't need it right now, but you raise money in just a couple days, which is pretty amazing. It really, really is. Hey, we may be a little closer to Skynet. I guess the Pentagon wants fighting robots to talk to each other. That's another article over on Ars. I'll let you read it. You're like, oh, man, here we go. Article over on CNET talks about some historic legacy for NASA and some great photos. They got 28 absolutely stunning images here. And we're starting to, you know, think of shuttle, the space shuttle as, you know, something that has been. Obviously, we've got some more launches ahead of us, but a lot of people are taking advantage of the time. People are reflecting back, looking at the legacy here that the shuttle has, what they've done, what it's done for us as a nation. So some great pictures by CNET. Have that link up in the show notes. For those of you that have going to upgrade to Windows Home Server 2011, and you've got Macs in the house, there's going to be a plugin for you to be able to support Time Machine with Windows Home Server 2011. So good news on that. That's being put together by Orbital Technologies, and it may be a freemium add-on. So we'll see how that, a free or freemium. So we'll see what happens with this when it comes out. A couple last things here for you real quick. We'll skip that one. Homeland Security is admits that they've totally screwed up on that domain name seizure at Moo.com, which reduced 84,000 mostly legal sites. And they haven't admitted guilt, but they basically said they screwed up. So maybe there's going to be some lawsuits moving forth here. I don't know. We'll see. All right, last article of the night, and should make you really think here. Don't be texting. Don't be talking on your phone when you're not supposed to. Don't be updating your Facebook stuff when you're driving. Facebook timestamp is being used in a lawsuit claiming driver was Facebooking when she ran over and killed a pedestrian. You do not want to be on the receiving end or be killing someone or hurting someone because you are doing something with your mobile device. They're using this. You will go to jail for a long, long time. That will prove negligence. If this person is proved to have been using Facebook and basically sending an update and a timestamp in her account happened at the same time the accident happened, so this will not be good. Will not turn out well, folks. Anyway, link will be up in the show notes on that. You guys can check it out. I do have one voicemail. We'll go ahead and play that, and then we'll quickly get into emails and get everybody out of here. And we're obviously long. So, and I've got, how many of you have downloaded that South by Southwest music? Awesome. There's some good stuff in here. I just want to play just a tap from this one song. It's called Catlin Rose, Shanghai Cigarettes. Oh, is it going to play? Let me jump to the middle of it. Oh, that's weird. Doesn't sound good. But anyway, it sounded good. I was playing it the other day. I don't know why the track's not playing well. Let me just go ahead and play the voicemail, and then we'll wrap this up.
Hey, Todd. This is Mark. I'm formerly in Cincinnati. I recently relocated to Wisconsin for job reasons. Anyway, it was nice to be able to pick my podcast with me on the move up here. And I really enjoyed all your CES content this year. And I did want to say, well, I bought myself a Roku for Christmas, and the CES video just looked fantastic. I think it was some of the best video I saw, you know, compared to some of the Revision 3 and then the Twit Network stuff. I think you guys had some of the best quality video that I saw up there. I didn't see the stuff on the Roku that you said was having, that people were having trouble viewing, so maybe I'd kind of moved on to other things by the time that got up there. But when I watched the actual GNC podcast on the Roku, it looks to me like it's being taken from a 16.9 and it's being kind of squished down into a 4-3 and dropped in the center. The morning tech show looks fine. It's, it goes full frame, 16:9. But I took some pictures of it on my TV screen. I guess I'll try and get those emailed out to you. So I don't know how the video from the actual show is being rendered, but it really looks pretty bad, especially compared to how good the CES video looked. The other thing was that the Audible, the new sponsor, I've been an Audible user for several years now, and one of the things that actually got me using it was when they sponsor some other podcasts, they make an effort to do some actual reviews, and I think that was what got me intrigued, was hearing them talk about the different books they listened to, so I finally went and tried it, and I've been using it for the last 2, 3, 4 years now. One book I enjoyed recently was the Anthony Bourdain, his Kitchen Confidential, because I really enjoy his show, and that was the book that kind of started his whole career, so here's my recommendation for anybody who's a little bit of a foodie or something. That's a great listen. So anyway, keep up the great work. Enjoy the show. Oh, and you had asked what people were using for photos online. I went with Smug Mug. I paid for it. I think it's like $38 or $40 a year. But it's a really nice interface. It doesn't re-compress your photos any. And there's a couple nice apps for it on the Windows phone, so I can just upload my photos directly from my phone up to a different album on Smug Mug, and the controls are whether private or password protected. I password protected some, like the family Christmas that, you know, I didn't necessarily want everybody seeing those, where I had linked up other galleries onto more public sites like Reddit and stuff. So anyway, keep up the great work, and I'll talk to you later.
Hey, thanks for the call, and to be honest with you, I am aware of what's going on with the video at Geek News Central. Should be resolved tonight. Somehow, one of our settings in the rendering machine, which I locked in, got adjusted, so there was, it's basically on my end from a rendering perspective, but if you see Geek News Central's video tonight on a Roku, I think you're going to see a dramatic change, and basically, it's just one of those things that has happened. And if you're not watching those settings all the time, you just miss it. And it's one of those things. I blew it, and we had a couple of shows go out that didn't go out 16:9, so it looks hokey. So thanks for the heads up on that. Was aware of it. Basically, I found it the same way. I went on the Roku. I was like, oh crap, what's going on here? And got it dialed back in. But thanks for the update, and thanks for all the other comments as well. Definitely appreciate it. Thanks for the glad you appreciated the CES content, and thanks for the endorsement on Audible. You guys can get a free trial, audiblepodcast.com/CES. I think we only had one email come in, and I got an email from Frank. He said, hey, Todd, I've fallen behind. I'm not catching up with your podcast. So if someone else has answers, I apologize. He says, how should I put this delicately? Mom jeans are the outerwear equivalent to granny panties. Thanks, Frank, for that. Definitely appreciate the feedback on that one. That's good, but that one eluded me for a while on the slang. So no, I don't wear mom jeans, thank God. So anyway, that's it. Hey folks, as always, geeknews@gmail.com, voicemail hotline 619-342-7365, 619-342-7365. Look forward to being back with you again Thursday night for a live recording. Of course, the show is released every Tuesday and Friday morning, and we hope that you'll join us each Saturday morning when I'm in Honolulu for the morning show, the Saturday morning tech show. And enjoy, everyone. Take care. We'll see you next time, and aloha.